For those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Hey, everybody. I'm the new guy in charge of junior high and high school, and it's been awesome. I love you guys. My fiance, Caitlin, and I, Caitlin, stand up. I'll embarrass you. This is Caitlin, the beautiful one right there. There she is. We have been just so thankful for you guys, like, and we have to say thank you so much for such a warm welcome. You guys have been amazing. We've never felt such a warm community in a church, and this has definitely been a blessing. So thank you guys. We are so glad to be here, and we are confident that God has led us here. He's just been preparing our hearts for over a year now. Just looking back in retrospect, He has been working in so many ways that I can't even begin to describe to you, but we can both tell you that it has been amazing. So those of you guys who don't know me, I'd love to get to know you. Please introduce yourself to Caitlin and I. Remind us of your names, because we have like hundreds of names and we're really bad with names, and it's like, oh, hey, how are you? I forget your name, I'm sorry. So please be gracious with us this first couple months. But let's go ahead and pray and before we open God's word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness, for your blessing in our life, for the blessing of laughter and of kids, and how you remind us that we need to be, we have a faith like children. And we look at these kids and we're so thankful for their heart and their energy. God, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to have that childlike faith today as we dive into your word and as we celebrate just what you've done in our lives, God. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is going to be a little different. It's obviously Youth Sunday. We've kind of taken over. So either you're welcome or I'm sorry. But what we have today is something. What we want to do is invite you guys as a congregation into this conversation we've been having for the last month in our youth group. And it's called YouTube, Broadcast Yourself. Oh, yeah, hey, okay. Kids are excited. Here we go. This has been awesome. It originally started as a way for me to kind of let the group know who I was and for Caitlin to let the group know who she was, and so that we could broadcast ourselves to the group and that in turn the group would broadcast themselves to us. But through the course of this last month, God has just been revealing himself in amazing ways and speaking to us in amazing things, and part of that has been VBS. So we're going to open this up with a little video, a YouTube-esque video, of some of our kids broadcasting themselves and what it means to follow Jesus. So take a look.
Oops. YouTube, broadcast yourself!
My name is Grayson Thunder Gassmeyer. I became a Christian at Pacific Church of Irvine when I was baptized in 2003.
This is not... Don't try that at home. No.
Hi, I'm Jake Belcher, and I became Christian in 2006 when I was baptized at Pacific Church.
YouTube, broadcast yourself.
Hi, I'm Dakota Belcher, and I'm 13.
Hi, I'm Kevin Hammer, and I'm 13.
I became a Christian when I was born, and when I was baptized when I was 2.
I became a Christian, I think, 2007 or 2006. In my friend's sink, his dad baptized me.
I learned that reading the Bible is not always a boring thing, and that if you follow Jesus, you will be more determined to go to a better place.
Why is this so important?
Hi, I'm Sarah Zmuda, and I'm 11 years old.
And I'm Ashley Anderson, and I'm 11.
To follow Jesus is like to make the right decisions in my life, to be the better person, to be a good person.
The coolest part about following Jesus is that he can share our words in a good way, and even we sin and he doesn't like us to do that, he can still forgive us for doing so.
I'm Rihanna, I'm 14.
And I'm Emma, and I'm also 14. I take a lot of my friends to church.
Yeah, I've brought some of my friends to church, and I usually just talk about it. I usually have a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, I learned that the Bible can be fun, and we need to work as a team.
The thing I learned about Vacation Bible School is that if you read the Bible, you can make it fun,
I learned that even when it's hard to love like your enemies and people that even like if they don't like you, you don't like them, you still have to like, love them.
Say bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Bye.
YouTube, broadcast yourself.
Bye-bye.
Get your become.
Aren't they awesome? They did a great job. Some of them were nervous to do it. Some of them said, you better edit that. Edit that, please. And so I did my best. All right, so when we're talking about this whole idea about YouTube and broadcasting yourself, a lot of things can come to mind. Let's face the facts. Everyone is broadcasting something. You know, we don't, we're not walking around just kind of as blobs, not doing anything. Everyone is broadcasting something. Everyone is saying something. And as American culture, we're bombarded with about, I read a statistic that's about 3,000 images and advertisements a day. 3,000. That's amazing. Anything from logos to billboards, commercials, and everything in between, YouTube videos. We are bombarded with a plethora of things that people are trying to say, messages that are trying to be communicated. And so we have to communicate because that's just in our blood. We have to broadcast because that's who we are. But we can choose to broadcast the things of this world, like promiscuity or things like sin and you know, other bad things. But we could also choose to broadcast Jesus. And because we're in a church, I am going to go with the latter, that we're going to broadcast Jesus, the typical Sunday school answer. And so we're going to explore today just kind of a review of where we have been as a youth group, and like I said, invite you guys into that conversation, and we're going to explore why we broadcast, and then also how we broadcast. And so to begin with, I want to start with the why. And I want to say that if I ask the question, why do we broadcast, you could raise your hand and say the Sunday school answer, and you'd be right, Jesus. Jesus broadcasted God, and Jesus also calls us to do the same. I want to, I'm going to be reading some verses. I'll be all over the Bible, but I hope this all makes sense at the end. I'm not going to have it up on the screen, so we can just practice our listening. Okay. I've been having kids practice listening all week. VBS was great with 30 junior hires, so you guys, I'm sure, will be a little bit more listening than they were. Thank you. But you guys are awesome. Okay, John 8:12. In John 8:12, Jesus is talking to a bunch of people, and he says this amazing thing. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Not just a light, but he says he is the light, the one and only light. This is amazing because to a Jewish audience, which Jesus was talking to, the light was equivalent to the law. The Torah, the Bible, the word of God that these people read was called the light, and it gave illumination to their life, to their walk, and to their steps. And it's elevated in this almost like deified position in the Jewish mind. And so when Jesus comes in and says, I am the light of the world, he is basically saying, I am divine. I am God. And so we see from the very beginning, Jesus is broadcasting his divinity. He's broadcasting, I am God. I am the only way. And then he says later on, after Jesus says that he is the light, in Matthew 5:14-15, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. And so Jesus starts out by saying, I am the light of the world. I shine. And because we as Christians believe that Jesus lives in us after we choose to follow him, we shine that same light. So in a sense, this Jesus living in us is what we're broadcasting. And we aren't standing on a stage all by ourselves with a spotlight saying, look at me, look at me. Rather, we are saying, Jesus lives in me, and he has called me light because he is the light. And so when we broadcast, we want to start thinking of the fact that we are not just broadcasting this, you know, our hobbies or our talents. It's not like I can stand up here and broadcast to you how great I am, but rather we as a community can say, we broadcast Jesus because Jesus was the light, and then he declared us the light. I heard my VBS kids back there. Can I get an amen? We were really into that. It was fun. Can we get a hallelujah? Awesome. Great. We are having, like I said, I apologize, or you're welcome. And so we learned that Jesus is the light, and he broadcasted the light, the truth, the good news, and then we, as Jesus' followers, with Jesus residing in us, broadcast that same light. And so we get to broadcast that good news. Another reason why we broadcast, and I advocate this, that deeply woven into the fabric of humanity is this need to broadcast. That God, from the very beginning, had intended that he was going to make a community of God's people who would broadcast himself. That we would, by default, be broadcasters, because that is what God intended. So I'm going to skip back into the Old Testament, but it's not so old because it's still relevant today. I just had a lot of fun at VBS. Let me just share with you one more thing that we did. We had, you heard a couple of kids on there on the video say, I learned that the Bible was not boring. Awesome. As a Bible major, I have learned that over the years, and I absolutely love the Bible. And so teaching that, and for them to hold on to that has been so encouraging to me, because I would stand there with the Bible and I would say, y'all see this? This is the Bible, and the Bible is not boring. And they'd be like, amen, back there. And I even was wearing it on Crazy Hat Day. I was turning my hat around backwards. I was like, I can turn my hat around backwards when I read the Bible, because the Bible's not boring. The Bible's cool. And so I think I may have edited it out, or maybe it was just under someone's breath, but they said, I learned that the Bible was not boring, and we can turn our hats around. And so it was great. So we're going to read this non-boring book, Genesis 12, Genesis' first book of the Bible. We hear the words of God to a man named Abram. Abram was later called Abraham after he was made the father of many nations, but God called Abram out of an entire world that was full of pagans, full of idolatry, that there were people who set up, they had hundreds and hundreds of gods, and there was temple prostitution, there was everything that was, everything bad, evil, naughty, under the sun, and these people were doing it, and Abram was in that culture. And so God calls Abram out of that culture and says, go from your country, in verse 1, and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And here's where I want you guys to kind of hone in on. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. We see first and foremost that God is intending to make a great nation. That this broadcasting of God's people never takes place as individuals. And sometimes we can get kind of discouraged and think that as broadcasters we have to go out and we kind of just got to, you know, muster up all this courage and stand on the street corner on our soapbox and preach Jesus. Which has its place, don't get me wrong, but we as a community get to come around each other and broadcast the truth of God, the truth of the gospel. And so God says, I will make you a great nation, not a great individual. So let's start thinking in terms of community as we broadcast. And even, we're gonna explore this a little bit more, but as we are here today, I want you guys to see, as we're singing these songs and partaking in God's word and meeting together, we are broadcasting. And we are broadcasters here in this congregation. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. Thank you. If you guys keep on going, I might start to preach. Okay. And so we see that God is the one who has intended us to make to be a great nation, a community. And he says, I will bless you. Now, right here, we can kind of stop because this can go many different ways. And a blessing can look like something like material blessing. And here in Orange County, we know what that's like. And we were telling our kids when we did a canned food drive this week for the homeless, and the cupboards were stocked. If you have a chance to go through the kitchen, if Judith will allow, of course, we can. You will see that it was bare and empty, and now we have just cabinets full of food where people can come in and be blessed by food. So the kids and everyone who donated was awesome this week. But we, as in Orange County, know what it means to be financially blessed. And even if we think that we don't, or it starts to look a little small, we can always remember the fact that we are in the top 5% of the world's wealth if we have a refrigerator and a car. It starts to change our mindset a little bit, right? And I told the kids, hey, you know, do you have any food in there? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, probably bumps you up to probably 4%. Do you have a roof over your head? Okay, maybe 3 or 2. And so we need to start thinking globally because we are blessed. And that is God's, and we must thank him for that. We are blessed by God. And so God intends a community to be a group. He intends to bless them. And that doesn't end there. Sometimes we can get caught up with, well, this is mine. I earned this. Or not even that I earned it, but I just deserve it. And both of those are true of the place that we live. But it doesn't stop there. It says, through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. This whole idea of we are blessed to be a blessing. We are not blessed just in and of itself so that we can hoard up all of our riches, but we are blessed to be a blessing. And I've been talking in terms of riches and finances, but this is also in terms of relationships. Look around you. I just want you guys to look around you. Look at these people who have come. Some of you guys are best friends. Some of you guys are in small groups together, and others are just getting to know each other, or else you're just looking at faces you don't know. Either way, we are blessed. I'm looking at a lot of faces I don't know, but I like them all. They're good. Good faces. But relationally, we are blessed. And the biggest relationship in which we are blessed is that God has revealed himself to us, that we know God. Do you ever stop to think about that, that we know the God of the universe, that we have a relationship with him, that we can call upon his name and say, Abba, Father, like little children, kind of sit at his feet? What a blessing, you know? And so we are blessed monetarily. We are blessed with riches, with finances, and we are also blessed with the relationship. And that is the main thing in which God is talking about here in his blessing, that he would reveal himself, that he would choose a people and call them his own, call them his own nation. And so I use this image with our group kind of like Play-Doh. You guys remember that? The Play-Doh? Yeah, that was cool. Remember those Play-Doh machines that you kind of like, you could stamp out the little things and they could do different shapes? Moms, you probably remember this. Well, I remember this one that was a spaghetti thing. And you put the Play-Doh in, you push down, and the spaghetti comes out. What good is Play-Doh spaghetti, though, you know? If it's spaghetti, I'm going to eat it. But, you know, this is Play-Doh and salty. That's gross. But so I want you to start thinking, we are kind of like that Play-Doh machine where the input is God's blessing, that lump of Play-Doh, and we squish it down, and the output is still the Play-Doh, but it goes out in many different ways and squiggles around. It's like the input is God's blessing and the output is blessing to the rest of the world, and that's what God called us to do. We are blessed to be a blessing. Input, output. Amen! Preach it! I'm getting excited here. Okay. And that's our identity. Our identity is that we are Play-Doh machines, kind of. We're Play-Doh machines. We are blessed to be a blessing, so we are going to be the conduits of that blessing. We're going to be the people who carry that blessing into the rest of the world. You see that? Here, broadcast coming up, we get to broadcast the blessing that God has given us. And that's the intention when God is creating a people that serve him. And so you may be thinking, okay, this is kind of like Israel and old and Genesis towards the beginning in chapter 12. That's really old. But if you turn, or if you just listen, we have 1 Peter. I should have marked this. That was bad. But I'm also a Bible major. I should know where it is. First Peter actually picks up on this language for us as people who follow Jesus. And it's really cool because he uses some of the same things as Moses did when he was recording what happened with Abraham and God, that discourse that happened there. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says, but you, calling all of the people who follow Jesus, and that would include us here today, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of you who were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We sang that song. It was awesome. Guys, that was so cool. Everyone was just into it. I liked it. But do you hear this language right here, that you are a chosen race, you're a chosen people, kind of like what he was talking about, I will make you a great nation. So he's picking up on that imagery of community, like us here today. But he also says, a people for his own possession, we are God's, so that we may proclaim the excellencies, let me insert my word, so that we may broadcast the excellencies of God. And so I want you to think that that blessing is what we are blessing other people with, that relational blessing. And now start to see that each time that we broadcast, we're not just broadcasting like, you know, some of you may be like, well, you know, what are we broadcasting? And I hope that you see that we, as people who are shining this light, who are broadcasting as a community, we are broadcasting the gospel of grace. We are broadcasting redemption, contextualized in each individual story. That each of us has a story to broadcast. You know, we don't need to spend hours and hours studying to try to come up with the best testimony or the best way to win somebody over to Jesus. We have our own lives, and if that isn't, you know, testimony enough, I don't know what is. That broadcast is amazing because we have all experienced the power of and the grace of the gospel, and now we get to spread that. And so we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We get to represent God to the world. What a blessing. And now, we kind of talk about now, how do we broadcast? And this was one of my favorite things that we did in youth group. Kids, remember the coffee shop? Remember the coffee shop? Yes, 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 yes. Coffee, coffee, okay. One of the things that we did to show that there was actually, like, you know, it doesn't have to happen, broadcasting Jesus or sharing the gospel doesn't have to happen here on church on Sunday morning, though it does, and it doesn't have to happen on the street corner with, you know, preaching loud with a megaphone, though it does, it has its place. But it happens in the ordinary, in the everyday life. And unfortunately, we have given into this mindset that there's a separation between the sacred and the secular, that there is a division between what is holy and what is defiled and what is just ordinary and normal. But the truth is that there is no division. That church isn't limited to just Sunday morning and small group. Amen, preach it. I mean, yeah. That we actually enter into this new life where all things are sacred and all things are holy. That all words are as if it were the word of God speaking to other people. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Me, not always. I'm guilty of that. But do you see that we have to break down these walls of division? And that church is not just limited to here. And that's exactly what Jesus taught. Because we learn in 1 John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And here's the point. The Word became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt among us. The God of the universe walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem. The God of the universe ate with sinners. The God of the universe reached out to prostitutes, to the untouchables, to those with leprosy, those who were excommunicated out of the village. The God of the universe came to the ordinary. He met people where they were. And so we set up one night as a coffee shop so that we could have this conversation and say that, you know what, the gospel could happen, the gospel preaching or conversations can happen in the ordinary. Church could happen at Starbucks. Amen for that. I love Starbucks. Says happy. There you go. But do you know what I mean? So it's not limited to here. It's not confined to a place. So that we can start having these conversations because they have permeated our life. And the God of the universe preached in the ordinary, and so we ought to preach in the ordinary. I'm not saying stand up at Starbucks and say, you guys are all going to hell and you're sinners. Not at all. I'm just saying we have this story within us. We have this story because we have been changed. We have experienced redemption. We have experienced the gospel of grace. And if you've experienced something so amazing, why wouldn't we talk about it? Why wouldn't it permeate our thoughts and our words and the way that we treat other people? And so that's how we broadcast. Another way that we broadcast is creatively. And we don't want to be set in our ways, in our little ways that we preach the gospel or share our faith, but we have to start thinking creatively. And one of my favorite examples is in Acts 17, Acts, the book that talks about the spread of the gospel after Jesus sent out his apostles and his disciples. And you see that this man named Paul, who has this amazing broadcast because he met Jesus face to face, the risen Lord on the road to, was it Damascus? Road to Damascus. I can't believe I'm asking you guys this. Just seeing if you're with me. But he met the risen Lord face to face, and he went blind for 3 days, and afterwards he became the most radical preacher of the gospel, the biggest spread of Christianity, even history books that are not Christian or are not theological in purpose or in nature, even claim that the Apostle Paul was a historical man who actually spread Christianity more than anybody else. He was once a Christian killer, but then transformed into a new man because of the gospel had permeated his life, and he couldn't help but talking about the transformation of it. And he goes to Greece, to Athens, the central hub of culture and art and music and philosophy and thought, and he goes up to these people, and he's going to share the gospel with them, right? Okay, so he's going to talk about Jesus. And then these people are probably not going to be the most receptive people. But Paul knows he has to do the creative work. He has to start thinking creatively of how he's going to reach these people. And so he doesn't lock himself up in an ivory tower and study theology so that he could preach a message at them that they're not going to be able to escape from. But he goes and he studies their culture. He reads their poetry. He goes to their theaters and he's able to understand their religion to where he can go to them and he says, I see, in Acts 17, he says, I see that you guys have all these idols everywhere. And even one says to an unknown God. You have names for all these other ones, but this one says an unknown God. Just so that all your bases are covered, right? You know, you don't want to miss one. But he says, yeah, there is a God that you don't know. And even your poets talk about this, that we are his offspring. And he says, that's my God. That's the true and living God. And he lays out the gospel for them. And it says some accept, some ask more questions, and some reject it. That even if we think creatively and we do our homework, there's still going to be those who don't want to listen to our broadcast. And we have to leave that in the Lord's hands. But the most amazing thing here is that he is working creatively. He is taking what culture has defiled, and he's using it to show them, okay, yes, you say this, but here, let me fill in the gaps for you. He meets them on their level. He uses their culture so that they can understand what's going on. His broadcast is not something that they are unable to comprehend. It's like he's going to Starbucks and listening to the music saying, oh, hey, you hear that Billy Joel song? We didn't start the fire? I don't know. That's the only one I really know. But he's like, yeah. I'm not talking about the Billy Joel song, but he's like using that as an example. He says, okay, your culture's kind of getting there, but let me fill in the gaps. And so we broadcast creatively. And so in the ordinary and creatively, we have a lot of work on our hands, but it shouldn't be that hard because we have all experienced the gospel in our life. And so I want you guys to start thinking in terms of what is my story? And if you don't have one, maybe you need to start thinking, well, where is my story? Is my story in me yet? Have I experienced this story? And we can start asking those tough questions so that we can one day have a story that will be another chapter in the book of history that will last forever. And one last section that I just want to kind of touch on is that we as a community, I kind of alluded to that a little bit, but we as a community have these little things that I like to call acts of broadcast, where although the secular and the sacred are not separate, but they are one, we do meet together as a church family, and there are certain things that we do together that broadcast the gospel. And sometimes, you know, things that we do in church kind of get ritualistic, or they get old or mundane, but we have to remember the fire that's there. We have to remember the truth and the reason behind all of that. And I'm talking specifically about things like communion and baptism and music when we sing to God. These are things that we get to corporately broadcast. You know, a little bit more with the music because we have words that we're saying and it feels more like a broadcast. But we as a community get to sing together. Then we as a community get to partake in the elements of communion representing Christ's work on the cross, his blood that was shed for the redemption of sins and for the body that was broken for us so that we may live. And we have to remember as we take these things that they are a way that we as a community can come together and broadcast the gospel in an act, in a representative act. And we're going to experience that a little bit more today because we have some kids who are going to be baptized. And I'm so excited for that. And when they're up there, I want you guys to start thinking, They're broadcasting. They've made a decision in their heart and in their mind and with their lives to follow Jesus. And now they're enacting a physical representation of the decision that they have made. They are broadcasting to all of you guys basically the gospel. How cool is that? Amen. And so that's really all I have for us today, but I want us to start thinking that we broadcast ourselves, and not only ourselves, we broadcast the light of Jesus, because each of us is broadcasting the gospel contextualized to each and every individual life. And that we can do that creatively, and we can do it in the ordinary, that there are no limitations from what is secular and sacred, and that we as a community come together as God's people to be broadcasters, because that's what is deeply embedded in our humanity. And so I want to pray right now. We're going to have a little bit more music, worship, and let's take this seriously, this broadcasting thing, right? We got YouTube. You know, that's another example of how we can take what culture has and be like, oh, broadcast yourself. Hey, we talked about that. You know what it means to broadcast? You know, I broadcast a story. I have a story. We all have stories. What's yours, you know? Just little conversations over coffee. Coffee's always good. Amen. But let me pray for you guys, and we're going to continue with announcements and everything else. But let's just together take some time and reflect on God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you've creatively designed us. How you have you could have just used a bullhorn and shouted into everyone's life, but you choose to use us to broadcast who you are and the gospel, and we get to partake in blessing others. And God, you have given us so much freedom in how we get to represent you. We get to be creative with that, and we get to do it in ordinary places. And God, I just thank you for entrusting us with that we may not carry it lightly, that we would recognize what you have called us to. And Heavenly Father, as we celebrate the broadcast of these kids who have made a commitment to you and are showing that to us, God, I pray that you bless them and that they would be radical blessings here in Orange County and the rest of the world for your name's sake and for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.